More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, out in the cold. Is someone giving you the cold shoulder, freezing you out? Let us help you melt the ice and rebuild the relationship. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life right here on the EWTN Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, out in the cold. I just added that. That's just the sound. No extra charge for that, ladies and gentlemen.
For the sound effect of coldness.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
We'll do it again.
In case anybody... No, don't. Oh, okay. Let's move on from that and talk about what the heck you're talking about.
Yeah, is someone giving you the cold shoulder? Or freezing you out?
There's too much of that going on these days, for sure. Yeah, it seems to be epidemic.
It is. So let us help you melt the ice and rebuild those relationships. The number is 877-573-7825. Give us a call. Let's talk about those relationships that are a little strained. Maybe there's more distance than you'd like. Maybe there's some tension that you're not quite sure how to resolve. You care about the person. You know, you would like to have a closer relationship, but you're just not sure how. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
So is someone in your life giving you the cold shoulder, and you're not sure how to break that ice? Or every time you try to reach out, you either get shut down or ignored? Are you in a relationship that's been tense for a long time, but you're not sure if it's even worth fighting for anymore? Maybe you're the one who pulled away, and you're wondering if you gave them another chance, would it work? Or you're wondering how you could at least restart the conversation. Let us help you thaw those icy relationships and help you come in from that cold.
877-573-7825. Again, the show titled Out in the Cold, as we talk about those relationships where somebody's giving you that cold shoulder, freezing you out, or there's just some tension that's making things icy between you and the other person. Kind of an odd show to be doing in the summer.
Yeah, but, I was thinking that. But that people
wishful thinking.
It's
maybe
not a repeat, folks. Yeah,
we're here live, and we're taking your calls. 877-573-7825. I mean, we've all been in this situation. I can think of somebody that I care about that we're I'm close to now, but there was a time where we sort of drifted apart. Then there was some tension and some real misunderstanding. And it was kind of one of those things where they'd done or said some things that hurt my feelings, and I wasn't sure whether I wanted to really reach back out again. There's a part of me that was saying, just leave the distance, And, sometimes that's what the best you can do, and we'll talk about that. But I felt in prayer that this was a situation that could be healed if I could just kind of get over my bad self and extend the olive branch, And I wasn't gonna accept bad treatment. I was planning on talking through the offenses and the concerns, and if they didn't want to do that, then we would stay where we were. But, taking that first step to build that bridge and let that person know that I did care about them and that I did want the relationship if they were willing to work on it with me, ended up bearing some really good fruit. And it was not a relationship that I would probably have today if I hadn't challenged myself, or allowed God to challenge me to take those steps. And as I said, we can't make relationships work all on our own. God's not asking us to fix everything. But He is asking us to do what we can to build those bridges. And that's what we want to talk about today on More to Life.
Well, and I think that just in your example, you're showing a lot of things that are but what we're both called to do, but what we're also fighting against. You know, these relationship rifts can really be a spiritual battle first before we even do the relationship work. So we have to deal with our wounded pride, our sense of wanting appropriate justice, but sometimes that can get over the top. Our sense of just wanting peace and quiet. You know, we can get very into our comfort zone in a relationship like this where you're saying, this was so much work. This was always causing me distress. And now that there's quiet, I'm not sure I want to do the work to repair it because I'm enjoying not having to go through all of that all the time. So when we bring it to prayer, as you were saying, Greg, that's when we can begin to sift through what's our ego, what's our wounded nature, what's perhaps even sloth on our part, and how can we challenge ourselves and then be able to work on that relationship and try to build that bridge. It can be complicated, so let us help you today if you're in that strained relationship that's making you feel like you're out in the cold. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, it's a fair question to ask, you know, how could some theology help me deal with relationships that are a little icy? But the fact is, it can help out a lot, because St. John Paul specifically was looking at how can we discover God's plan for having a healthier life and healthier, holier relationships by really reflecting on those universal principles that God built into creation, scripture, salvation history, that really clue us into his plan for leading a more abundant life. And that's what we call the theology of the body today.
And that theology of the body reminds us that just as Jesus prayed that we would all be one, we were created for intimate communion with all people. Before the fall, people didn't just tolerate each other. They were genuinely transparent with each other and saw each other's differences as gifts. The fall changed all of that. The cold shoulder, the silent treatment, the slow drift into distance, these aren't just relationship problems. They're actually echoes of a much deeper rupture, the continental drift that continues because of the after effects of original sin.
And that's exactly the lie the enemy wants us to believe, that staying cold is somehow safer than reaching out. You know, and in all of my years of counseling, I've seen it again and again. One person feels hurt, they pull back. The other person doesn't know what happened, or they do know and feel ashamed, so they pull back too. And what started out as a wound becomes a wall. And that silence doesn't protect anyone. It just lets the damage harden.
And if you're the one who's been shut out, that kind of rejection stings in a way that's hard to even put into words sometimes. But here's what I want you to hold on to. The longing you feel to reconnect, that ache that says this isn't how it's supposed to be, that isn't weakness. That's God's design for communion working exactly the way it was meant to. He put that longing there.
So let him use that. You know, the theology of the body gives us a beautiful framework here. We can invite, we can listen, we can address what needs to be addressed, and we can set limits around hurtful behavior. Now, of course, we can't force a relationship that someone else isn't ready for. We can't make relationship happen all by ourselves, and it's unhealthy to try. But what we can do is make reconciliation possible, hold the door open, do the honest work, keep giving those efforts back to God, who's been working to restore communion with each other since the very first moment sin entered the world, and hasn't given up on the particular relationship you're concerned about either, and neither should you. 877-573-7825. Today's show, Out in the Cold. We're talking about those times when you're in a strained relationship with someone you care about. Maybe you feel like they're giving you the cold shoulder, or freezing you out, cutting you off, and you're not quite sure how to melt the tension and rebuild the relationship, we're here for you. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people in our life that we care about but are struggling with for whatever reason. Maybe they have frozen us out over some perceived offense or slight, or they've just drifted off. Maybe we've had to shut them out for some reason or set boundaries with them that have caused tension in the relationship. It was your prayer that we would all be one as you and the Father are one. But sometimes it's hard to make that happen, and we certainly can't make those relationships happen entirely on our own, and you don't expect us to. But we ask you, Lord, to give us the wisdom, the courage, and the prudence that we need to do what we can to rebuild those relationships, to thaw the ice and to melt the tension and to allow the warmth of your grace to fill our hearts and the hearts of the others so that we can fulfill your prayer through your grace and become one again in you. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Out in the Cold, as we talk about those relationships where there's, you know, some icy tension. If somebody's giving you the cold shoulder or freezing you out, let us help you melt that ice and rebuild the relationship. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jill, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Hampshire.
Hi, Jill. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm calling today because this is right up my prayers. And I'll tell you my two questions. I'm worried about the effect on my son first. And my second question is
how old's your son?
What is 21? And then what is the second question I have for you is, what do I do next? Because, so my situation is that, I got married when I was in a place in my life where I wasn't really living my faith, and it came from a lot of wounds, especially father wounds, etc. I picked a guy that has been unfaithful pretty much most of the marriage. He's unable to connect in any kind of intimate way in general. We've been married for a long time. He's 63 and I'm 58 right now, and he basically continues to be, you know, he was using pornography, so there's that constant connection issue.
And you told our screener that he also drinks?
He drinks, yeah. He's, you know, going to a bar maybe 3 to 5 days a week. We live, you know, in one of these coastal areas where, anyway.
Just so I have the whole picture, were you guys married in the church? Or were you Catholic when you got married?
And I've asked him, you know, to go to counseling in the past. No, I don't need to. That doesn't help. I'm not going to do it. And then basically everything gets turned back on me, which is, you know, if you had lost weight and if you weren't religious, you know, this kind of thing. And so I've gotten my own counseling and spiritual direction to, you know, make sure that I start to walk in a different way myself, not out of wounds. And so here we are.
So I want to clarify the question, because you told our screener that you're doing all the work to make your relationship heal, and he's not really doing anything for it. And what more can you do at this point? Is that what you're asking us, what is it? How is it that we can help? Well, let's talk about that. So what you've got here is a perfect example of how we can't hold a relationship altogether on our own. You know, you said that you talked a little bit about your growing up and how, you know, it was less than perfect. And I think that you learned some lessons from there that it was sort of your job to keep relationships going that were even unhealthy all on your own power. And here's the metaphor I'd like you to use here is, imagine that you have a vase that's broken into a whole bunch of pieces. Okay, and you're holding that vase together, like you've wrapped your arms around it, your hands around it, your chin around it, like your whole self is just contorted around keeping all the different pieces of this broken vase together. It's not glued. It's not gonna stay together on its own. If you even move a finger, the whole thing's just gonna fall apart. But you're walking around all wrapped around this shattered vase, holding it all together on your own, and saying, you know, look, the vase. I'm holding the vase together. And I guess the question I have to you have to ask yourself is, are you? Because the best way to fix that vase is you're going to have to let it go and let the pieces fall apart and then put it back together, if it's possible, one piece at a time through hard work and God's grace. And you can't guarantee that your husband's willing to do that, so you're afraid to let it go, because if you do, it'll all fall apart, and then it'll be your fault, supposedly, right? Because you let the vase go. So, but you're not really holding it together either. You're just unable to do anything else, and you're twisting yourself into all kinds of weird contortions to hold this thing together that looks like a vase. So I'm not saying that you should leave. I'm not saying that the relationship is invalid. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying that the next step to fixing it is exposing how broken it really is by letting it go, by you saying, I can't keep doing this. He doesn't want to seek counseling because, honestly, the relationship works for him. You know, he's getting what he wants out of the relationship, and because you're holding it together enough to make him happy. And as long as you're willing to do that, he's going to continue doing the behaviors that he's doing, the pornography, the alcoholism, the verbal abuse, all of it, because he doesn't have to, because Jill's willing to just contort herself to hold this thing together that's this shattered beyond recognition. It's possible. I've seen relationships come back from this, but you have to be willing to stop, to kind of get out of God's way, and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you and the world see how broken this whole situation really is, so that we could put it together for real. And I'm going to stop holding it all together all by myself. You said you're working with a counselor. I would love for you to share this metaphor with your counselor. In fact, I'd love for you to download the podcast of the show and just play it in session and really talk about what it would mean for you, practically speaking, to stop trying to hold all the pieces of that vase together, so that you and he and God and others could see how broken it really is and look at how could we begin putting this back together one piece at a time in a healthy, authentic way. And if it can't be, then what is God's call for you at this point in your life? And really looking hard at those questions. Jill, that's a scary thing to look at, but I think that's the way forward, and I hope that you'll discuss that with your counselor. As I said, again, download the podcast, talk about it in session. If there's more that we can do to clarify that, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. But I do believe that God has a plan for this. You just have to be willing enough to overcome the fear to let him in, to heal what's actually broken, instead of you pretending to hold it all together for God and for you and for everybody else. Thanks for the question. 877-573-7825. Let's talk about those relationships where you're feeling a little out in the cold. Is someone giving you the cold shoulder or freezing you out in some way? Let us help you melt the ice and rebuild that relationship. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She'll be talking about healing distance in family relationships. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Out in the Cold. As we talk about those relationships where there's some chilliness, some iciness, somebody's freezing you out, giving you the cold shoulder, let's talk about how to melt the tension and heal the relationship. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, mom of 11. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you, Lisa. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. Now, Rachel, as any parent of a big family knows, the more people you've got, the more chance there is you're going to step on each other's toes. And this kind of freezing out, cold shoulder stuff can come up over and over again. What have you learned from your experiences in raising your big family that can help us all out today?
No, the one thing I've learned is it's as silent as a cold shoulder is, talking through it isn't always the best solution. I am someone who hates silence. I will fill silence, you know, small groups, all that stuff. I will always have something to say. But what I've learned in time is to pray to the Lord very deeply. Lord, give me the words I should say and not the words I want to say.
Because, you know, I love that you're drawing a differentiation there between those of us, and you and I have been friends for a very long time, we both know we do this, when we feel uncomfortable, we're trying to soothe everything by talking, by filling that silence, as you said, which is very, very different from effective words, words that can heal, words that can bridge a gap. So we really do need to take that pause and pray first, don't we? Not just fill the silence.
Because otherwise my words go from concern to reactionary to ugly. That very quickly with Matthew, with my kids, I will all of a sudden begin heaping on past offenses and all that stuff when I should have just kept my mouth closed. Now, I do want to say something. So we need to learn that fewer words are usually better in the situation. We can project that the person is silent because we've horribly offended them or it's all our fault, when maybe they're silent for a different reason. But we can say to them very lovingly in a quiet moment to say, things are different. I'm sorry for how we're talking or not talking to each other right now. I'm here to listen to you if you want to share. And then walk away and keep it in prayer to let the person know that you are sad and that you miss them, but that the ball is in their court, so to speak, for them to be ready to share with us.
I love the fact that you're the I'm sorry in this situation is I'm sorry that this is going on between us. I'm sorry we're at where we're at. It's not I'm sorry for anything I did wrong. Because that, if we say something like that, it's actually very triggering to the other person because it's very obvious we don't know what we did wrong or we're not really very sorry for what we did wrong.
And let's just get over it.
And let's just get over it and move on. But to say, I'm sorry for where we're at right now, and when you're ready to talk, I'm here, is a real bridge. It means I don't like where we are at because I like you. I want to be in relationship with you, and I'm willing to do the work, which is very different, as you just said, Greg, that kind of like, I'm sorry, let's just get over it and go back to the way we were.
Because
so that
doesn't give
very
the other person
thing
the time
to do.
I mean, everyone needs time. We need to give that person the time they need to organize their thoughts, think of what's on their heart, and to share it with us. And then we need the time to prepare ourselves for what might be said to us. It might be that we have hurt them unknowingly. It might be that they've got a big problem outside of the house that they're having a difficult time articulating. So fewer words, lots of prayer, and time can go a long way to thaw the temperature of the house, as it were.
I want to bring something up that occurs to me as you're talking. You know, Christians often talk about how we are living in the already present but not yet fulfilled kingdom of God. There's a tension there between the way things are and the way we wish they were, or the way God would like them to be. And we have to kind of get used to living in that tension sometimes. You know, like you're saying, we sometimes want to rush through it.
None of us like tension.
Words, or just pretend that everything's better than it is. And one of the things you're talking about, giving the person time, means being comfortable living in that tension between the way things are and the way we wish that things would be, and kind of bringing that tension to God and reflecting on what we need to do with that, whether we need to let that percolate a little bit, or whether it's now time to take some steps. But I mean, what would you say about living in that tension? Like, how do you become comfortable with that, knowing that, you know, God is working, but maybe I just need to give it a little bit of space?
Exactly, because we can, you know, as parents, we want to fix everything. And what we need to do is, when that urge comes to say the thing, to fix the thing, to turn it back to yourself, going, Lord, work on me. Lord, take my heart into consideration. Again, what should I say, Lord, versus what I want to say or do? And to let God be God. You know, we all go through those moments where we just have to be patiently waiting, and we can have those small prayers of intention, those small prayers of comfort to ourselves as we wait. Lord, I know you're in charge and you're working. Let me wait for you.
But what I love you're also saying is, Lord, show me what to say. Help me wait on you. It's not, Lord, go fix them. I'm fine.
Yes. Teach me what to do.
So really that idea of being open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and relying on God to do the work inside of us so we know what to do next. Thank you for your wisdom, Rachel Watkins.
Yeah,
we appreciate
stuff.
It so much.
Nice segment. Thank you so much for your insights. And folks, we are helping you melt the tension in those icy relationships in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Is someone giving you the cold shoulder and you're not sure how to break the ice? Maybe you're the one who's pulled away and you're not sure whether to give the other person another chance. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
What comes to your mind when you hear the word passion? Passion often signifies intensity of emotions and feelings, frequently in terms of lust. But the Catholic Catechism tells us passions are neither good nor bad in and of themselves. In other words, passions are morally good if they contribute to a good action, and evil if they bring about the opposite result. The most fundamental passion is love, says the Catechism. It is aroused by attraction to the good, the desire to attain the good, and fulfilled by joy and pleasure once the good is possessed. Evil, on the other hand, arouses hatred, aversion, and fear. Passions are the passageway connecting the senses and the mind. Jesus said the source of all passions was the human heart. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what, we've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar. And he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed. And he says, don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. You know that feeling when someone you love walks away from the faith? Every bone in your body wants to either chase them down with a list of reasons they're wrong or shut down and pretend it doesn't hurt. In our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, Lisa and I remind parents that our adult kids don't need our advice nearly as much as they need our ear. They need to know that the door is open and you're not standing behind it with a lecture. The irony is that the less you try to fix them, the more likely they are to come to you when they're finally ready for help. Our job isn't to drag them back. It's to become the kind of person it makes sense to open up to and see as a mentor. For more tips on building or repairing your relationship with your adult kids, especially if they've fallen away, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult, Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, out in the cold. We're talking about those relationships where there's just some icy stuff going on and you're not quite sure how to melt the tension. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and we'll help you navigate those situations where somebody's giving you the cold shoulder, or you know, maybe you've had to pull away or set some boundaries and you're not sure whether it's time to give the other person a chance or what
it's
that would even
safe
look like.
Too. There's a lot to discern in something like this, and it can be complicated. So give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's talk now with Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Marie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about my relationship with my daughter.
I'm just going to ask you to speak up a little bit, speaking to the phone a little bit, because you started to fade out. Relationship with your daughter. And then you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. My relationship with my daughter. Is that better?
A wee bit. Go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay. It's very broken right now. She crossed a boundary with me, and I had to take an action, and she was very upset that I did put a boundary there. And so at first we were kind of peacefully, she lives at home, we were peacefully, semi-peacefully coexisting.
She lives with you. She lives in your home.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
And then I had to do some travel in March, and then I actually have not been living in my home now since March. I've been making other arrangements, and anyway.
And is that because kind of the rift between you, Marie?
Well, in part because, and I should give a little background. We learned 2 years ago she's on the spectrum, so she's very intelligent, but emotional regulation is not her strong suit.
Okay.
So in any case, I have not been at home in part because I don't feel like she's in a good place, and I'm trying to avoid anything happening between the two of us. But I'm just wondering, like, there's just nothing. She's getting counseling. I'm getting counseling, but I'm just kind of wondering at this point, should I try to communicate with her? I really haven't been doing that because I was trying to give her space to kind of.
What are you afraid? What would happen? Are you afraid something would happen if you did communicate with her?
Just communication by itself. I think, like, if I sent her an email or text or something, I think that she would probably ignore it. I don't know. Probably ignore it, or, you know, send something nasty back. I don't know. In person, I would not want to be alone with her at this point because I just don't feel safe based on what happened before. So,
and you physically safe, are you saying, or emotionally safe, or both?
Yes.
Physically safe.
Physically and emotionally.
So I mean, but she's in your house, right? So I mean, are you able to keep this up?
Yeah, so that's why because she's special needs, that's why we try to.
Well, when you say she's special needs, like, how functional is she? Is she able to hold down a job?
Because you're saying just found out 2 years ago.
And she's living on her own. She's living on her own in your house.
Yeah, but she's qualified for disability, okay? Her in terms,
I gotcha.
She can't really hold a
okay.
job. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That helps clarify things. So, look, I would say that it's important to access the resources here. This relationship nothing's going to get any better the way it is, because it doesn't sound like she's capable of walking through the steps of reconciling, right? If she's on the spectrum, if she's on disability, she's smart, but one of the traits of autism is that there are a lot of poor relationship skills that come along with that. The way the person's brain functions who has autism, they tend to think of people the same way they think of objects. So when they think of people, the same part of their brain lights up as when they think of a chair. And that's not 100% true. That's a very kind of gross overstatement of it. But that's a way to conceptualize how the person on the spectrum thinks about relationship. And so it's going to be difficult for her to walk the steps through what needs to happen to bring any kind of healing that could occur to happen. And I'm not saying that you can have a perfect relationship with her. It might always be strained to some degree. But I think that step one would have to be reaching out to her and saying, look, this is untenable. We need to figure something out. You have a counselor. I have a counselor. Let's get together. We can either meet with your counselor or my counselor, or do a call with all of us, or what. But we need to figure out how we can coexist in some way, and come up with a plan for moving forward. Because I'm not willing to be homeless any longer, and I love you too much to let this continue the way it is. So I think that this isn't something that you can avoid, and it's not something that she's going to fix. So it really falls to you to work something out. And you do have resources in place, your counselor, her counselor. You could sign some release of information forms so that your counselors could talk to each other and work out some kind of meeting, for all of you or the two of you. Those are just different ways to approach it. Right. But it's not going to get better unless you do something about it. I'll say this to you. This is also a kind of a public service announcement to anybody who's listening. You always have to have an exit strategy. You always have to have a plan. Sometimes we set boundaries because we're upset about something, and then we react to the situation, and we it's not so much a boundary as it is a barrier, and we just slam down this wall and say, okay, now I'm safe. But actually I'm a prisoner, right? I've not built a barrier, I've not built a boundary. I've built a prison for myself. And that's kind of what's happened here.
Very much so, because it's very physically taking you out of your home and kept you continuing to find ways to stay out, because this is such a big deal for you to be able to go back in.
And I'm not questioning that. Maybe that's what you needed to do in the time to keep yourself physically
exactly.
safe, right? So, just in general, right? For you and for anybody else who's looking at, well, what is a boundary? What does a healthy boundary look like? A healthy boundary always says, look, you can't. I appreciate what you're trying to do. You can't do it this way. You could do it this way. And if you're willing to do it the new way, then I'm willing to be around you. If you're not willing, then we need to make some other arrangements, or cut back the relationship, or I can only see you under these conditions, or in these places, or in these situations. In your case, it might be you could continue to live with me if you can do X, Y, and Z, but you can't continue to live with me if you can't do that. But I think, putting the barrier that you did rather than a boundary has now kind of trapped you in a situation where it's entirely up to you to move this forward, because she's comfortable where she's at. This is, by the way, one of the reasons I always encourage couples, married couples who are in tension, to never leave, to never be the one to kind of leave the house, because all they have to do is wait for you to come back. And that's not really an intervention at all. That's just cutting off your nose to spite your face. So this is kind of the mother-daughter version of that same problem. So you're going to have to be the one to kind of build some kind of rapprochement that allows you to coexist, if not get along as well as you might like to as mother and daughter. But you use the resources that you've got. Talk to your counselor, have her talk to her counselor, really try
maybe bring the two counselors together to help you really make sure, as Greg is saying here, that you come up with a plan together in a way that makes sense and is written down,
and safe.
You can both see it, so you're both safe and you can move on. And that would probably be the safest way for you to go. And then, if God forbid you ever have to have her removed from your home because she's threatening you physically. You have that written kind of behavioral contract to refer
back. And by the way, as a mom, nobody ever wants to hear that, right?
Nobody.
But really, if she's going to physically threaten you in some way, she needs to see how serious that is. It's difficult for somebody on the spectrum to understand relationship consequences, and so it's easy for it to just say, well, Mom, Marie's just being crazy. You know, Mom's just being nuts. You know, she's taking things too hard. But if she's behaving in a physically threatening way and you have to call the police and have her removed, that really drives home the point that, okay, this is a line I can't cross. That would actually be in her best interest if it came to that. So don't be afraid to set those kinds of boundaries if need be. But again, talk to your counselor. Talk to her counselor, see if you guys can't work some kind of livable arrangement out. Thanks for the call, Marie. If there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. It's a difficult situation, and we want to be able to support you in any way we can. All right, we are taking your calls today on More to Life. The show is titled Out in the Cold, as we talk about those relationships with people we care about but who, for whatever reason, are hard to get along with. Either they have put distance in the relationship because of something they've experienced as an offense, or we've drifted apart for some reason. We don't know why. Maybe we've set boundaries, like we were just talking about with Marie, and we don't know whether it's time to give that other person a chance.
Maybe you set that boundary, and time went by, and time went by, and time went by, and now you're thinking, it's so awkward to even try to bridge the gap. Should I do it? And if so, how? It can get complicated.
Or, you know, maybe you were identifying with what I was saying to Maria, and you thought you set a boundary, but you really created a barrier, and now it's prison for you.
Mm.
You know, and you're having to live with the consequences of, well, I set this boundary now, but I'm the only one who's suffering for it. That's not a great boundary. So let's talk about what else you can do instead, because that just tends to make the other person comfortable, and you suffer while you say, well, I did a thing. You know, to try to make it better, but it's not working. Well, no, because it's just making you uncomfortable. It's not really changing anything. So let's talk about that. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from John chapter 17, verse 21.
May all be one as you, Father, and I are one.
And this, again, is Jesus' prayer, that we would all be one. We can't make relationships work all on our own, and God is not asking us to do that. You know, sometimes we hear this verse, and I talk to people who, like our previous caller, you know, feel like it's all up to me. Like my husband or my kid or my whatever is not doing anything to make the relationship work. So I have to be the one to hold all the broken pieces of this relationship together all by myself. That's not what the Christian's job is. You know, the Christian's job is to say this relationship is to let go of that vase, that broken vase, and let the pieces fall on the table. And then we sit down together with God and the people who broke the thing and say, let's figure out how to put this back together authentically. I'm tired of holding it all together myself, and I can't do that. So let's put this back together in a real way, in an authentic way. And that's the mission. And sometimes it's possible, and sometimes it's not possible this side of heaven. But that's what we have to look at, not pretending that it's more together than it is, not holding it all together on our own, but really exposing the real brokenness that's here and putting it back together one piece at a time. 877-573-7825. More to Life continues with your questions coming up after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. Where there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Out in the Cold, as we talk about those relationships that are a little icy. How do we melt the tension and rebuild that rapport? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Cherish, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Hi, Cherish. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. Great to talk to you guys. So I am estranged from my biological mother. I stopped living with her. I was about 14 years old. So she raised me, and then I left to go live with my dad.
And Charge, can I just mm-hmm. check your verbiage here? You said from your biological mother.
Yes.
Like, why that particular word?
It just feels uncomfortable.
You didn't say just your mom,
calling
but...
her. Yeah, it feels uncomfortable calling her my mom.
Okay, so there's a lot of stuff there that must have happened to make you feel this way. Okay, go on.
So she struggled a lot with pills and prescriptions, and it just led me to not be safe in her home. So my older siblings all kind of took their time moving out, and I was the last one because I was youngest. However, my brother, who's a few years older than me, has kept contact with her. And he has worked really hard at that relationship. It's not been easy. He sees her. He sets boundaries. They have a difficult relationship, but he works really hard at maintaining that relationship. And I just, I guess because I was younger, I think they shielded me from a lot, and I just made the decision, okay, I just won't talk to mom anymore. Done. Now that we're older, he's been encouraging me to reach back out, to try to talk to her more, and I'm just really fearful. I think I'm fearful of, like, that vulnerability, and I have a daughter now that she's never met. So I just don't know how to approach it.
Well, Cherish, you are in contact with your brother, and you're saying it's a difficult relationship. Is she still having addiction issues?
I don't know for sure. Specifically, she's been to a few different, I'll say, facilities, I think. She was living in a shelter for a little bit, and then I think got evicted from that shelter because she was having arguments, I've been told.
Yeah.
But from what my brother's telling me, she has a job that she's been able to maintain. So I don't know that it's full-on addiction.
But she's still struggling and mightily. So when you say that you're afraid... Like, you're afraid to reach out to her. What are you afraid of exactly, if you can put words to that?
I think I just, like, reflect on when I was younger and I'd moved out of her house. She would, like, show up at my house, at my dad's house. She would show up at school and be like, hey, we're going to go out. I'm going to go take you and get ice cream. But I knew it was just uncomfortable. So I think I'm afraid of her showing up at my house. I don't know how to
navigate. Especially with your daughter.
Does she know where you live?
I don't know how to navigate. No, she does not.
Okay.
But
so here's what I'm going
to
suggest you do. No. You're absolutely right. So I first, what I want to say is, what you want to be doing is really praying about what you are strong enough at this point in your life to handle, and to not give more than that, right? So for example, right? I'm not saying to do this necessarily, But I'm saying you might say I can have a text based relationship with my mom, or I could see her in a public place, or I could see her with my brother, but not on my own. There's a limit to what I can do. And I would not suggest, by the way, and the reason I'm saying that is because the temptation is, well, I'm just going to show up with my daughter and we're going to just have a whole relationship, and I'm going to introduce her to her grandma and, we're all going to be a happy family. I know that that's not possible, but sometimes we can feel like that's what we're being pressured to do.
Because behind a lot of this, I guarantee you, is you're looking at your daughter and thinking back to pre-original sin, right? We all want those relationships with the people that God has created as our family. And so you have this longing to say, I want a grandmother for my daughter. She deserves a family. I want my mom to be well now that I'm old enough to process. But she's dealing with serious mental health issues that may make her difficult for you to deal with, but maybe too chaotic for your daughter. And that's something you really need to be praying about and discerning.
So the first question really is, okay, yes, I'm at a point in my life where I'm not 14 anymore. I'm stronger. I have more resources. I'm not as vulnerable as I was. So it's possible for me to tolerate mom's behavior a little better than I could. But you should still be reflecting on how much can you be around your mom and still feel safe? In other words, I'm not going to have to spend the rest of the day putting myself back together after interacting with her.
And also, how much of a relationship can you have and still keep your daughter safe? You don't want her showing up at your daughter's school saying, I'm taking you for ice cream, and then they disappear in the car.
But as long as she doesn't know where you live or where your daughter goes to school or whatever, you could initiate some kind of contact, potentially, again, if you feel safe doing so. And I might suggest, first of all, pray about that. Really reflect on that question. And if you're not in the place to do that yet, that's okay. Recognize that that's something that you want to keep healing, not so much for the sake of your mom, but for your own sake, because God wants to heal those wounded parts of you that make you feel like you couldn't handle that. Right? So you can work on that. And if you get to a place where you're stronger later, that's fine. If you do feel like you could have some limited contact with your mom without having to spend the rest of the day putting yourself back together again, I might suggest going on a visit with your brother so that he is there to kind of help guide the relationship with the boundaries that he's set that you could kind of co-opt as well, and see how that goes. But I would really be careful, just take this one step at a time and not force a relationship where it's, okay, we've gone from nothing to now, here I am, and here's my daughter, and here's where I live, and here's where she goes to school, and you have full access to everything. I think it's okay to play all this really close to the vest, not just for your sake, but for your mom's. And this is a really important thing. I say this all the time. As Catholics, we believe not just in avoiding sin, but the near occasion of sin. And sometimes we can be a near occasion of sin for somebody. Now, what I mean by that is if I come around you and you can't control yourself and my presence triggers you to behave in abusive, crazy, unhealthy, destructive ways, the most loving thing I can do for you is to step back, right? Because I'm a temptation that you can't handle.
So leaving at 14 made you safer, but in many ways it removed the temptation for her to be destructive as a mother from her. In many ways, you were actually working for her ultimate good by leaving, as well as your ultimate good. And I really want you, Cherish, to ask yourself as you pray through this and ask God, what do I need to do for my daughter's ultimate good? Is reviving this relationship in any way, shape, or form actually going to be in her long-term best interest?
So the first question really, again, is how much could I be around her and still feel safe in the sense that I don't have to put myself back together again the rest of the day? And secondly, how much could I be around her and not be a temptation, a near occasion of sin for her that she could handle well, right? And I would say, again, don't even bring your daughter into the equation at this point. It's not safe to bring your mom to that, right?
Your daughter into the situation. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I said. And so you don't want to do that, but you can look into your own your own heart and see what you're capable of being safe around for now and what she's able to respond to well. Thanks for the question. If there's more that we can do to support you through this, this is something we can certainly help you through step by step at CatholicCounselors.com if you're looking for a faithful way to navigate these challenges. But I think you can work with the suggestions that we've made here on the call. And that's the end of the program. As we wrapping this up, the most important thing, okay, in trying to discern how to move forward with this is, as we said earlier on our reflection, not to find the right words to fix it all, but to find the words to clarify what the concerns are. You know, to be able to say, look, I want this relationship to work. I love you, and I'd love for us to be in a better place. Where are you at, and are you in a place where we can work on this together? You just open the door and see what happens. It's not up to you to make it all work by yourself. It's not up to you to force a relationship on somebody they're not ready to handle and handle well. Right? But it's okay to leave that door open and say, I'm here for you when we're able to do it. That's if you're looking for more support in making that happen in your relationships, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.